2022 Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn.
We're back, folks. And this is our Sunday Spectacular, 3 hours of nonstop excitement. We started out with Gustav Muller from Zeitlanders in South Africa, Simon Roach helping us along there here in the United States, an emissary of Zeitlanders. And we're talking now about Steve Bannon. And I love playing George. I love that playing that Back in the Saddle again. I grew up on Gene Autry, as did anybody of my age. And boy, was that a wonderful time. It's worth remembering. It's not sour grapes for all you younger guys who didn't get, and gals who kind of have missed out. You haven't had the wonderful world that we had back in the 1950s. But boy, Gene Autry and Roy Rogers and Hopalong Cassidy, the Lone Ranger. I actually got to meet the Lone Ranger many years ago, Clayton Moore. The man who played the Lone Ranger, got to meet him in Kansas City, Missouri, in a shopping mall. He was doing a shopping mall appearance. Oh, my gosh. But here's the epitaph for Gene Autry. He died in 1998 at the age of 91 in Studio City, California, at his home. And on his grave there, in Forest Lawn in Hollywood Hills Cemetery in Los Angeles, it reads, America's favorite cowboy, American hero, philanthropist, patriot, and veteran, movie star, singer, composer, baseball fan, and owner, 33rd degree Mason, media entrepreneur, loving husband, and gentleman. And boy, Gene Autry was a great one. And what he did, you know, what was his great contribution to our people, to all of us kids? He did something for our people that's, you know, priceless. He gave us a world. He gave us a view of life, of our white world, our white culture, the high standards. And I like the lyrics to his songs. Back in the Saddle Again, out where a friend is a friend. That was the culture that we grew up in. And also in that lyric was, where the only law is right. Boy, I like that one. And that's sort of the, you know, the world of the imagination. George, just a little bit ahead of your generation, but you partook of some of this too. That was the wonderful world of imagination that we grew up in, where there were heroes and where the only law was right.
I got to see lots and lots of black and white Roy Rogers rerun, Trigger, and all those good things.
Yes. And here's a little interesting story. While working as a telegrapher, well, his name was Orvon. I like that's an old American name, Orvon, O-R-V-O-N. Orvon Grover Autry, born in 1907 near Tioga, in Grayson County, North Texas, the grandson of a Methodist preacher. And here's some more great names. His father, Delbert Autry, and his mother, Elnora Osment. Elnora! Oh, I love that. They moved from Texas to Johnston County, southern Oklahoma, worked in his father's ranch while at school, and then after leaving high school, worked as a telegrapher for the St. Louis-San Francisco Railway. Then, while working as a telegrapher, Gene Autry, well, I don't know if he'd adopted the name Gene yet, but Autry would sing and accompany himself on the guitar to pass the lonely hours, especially when he had the midnight shift. This later got him fired. One night, he was encouraged to sing professionally by a customer, the famous humorist Will Rogers, who had heard him singing. The rest is history. He became known as Oklahoma's yodeling cowboy, played on Tulsa radio station KVOO. Autry recorded many hillbilly style records in 30 and 31 in New York City.
James. It's hard to find a radio station that even transmits in English these days.
Yeah. But, you know, and for you younger folks, let me tell you, when Donald Trump says make America great again, let me tell you, he's 71 years old. I'm 69. To people who are Donald Trump's age, when he said to us, make America great again, we knew exactly what he meant. Exactly. It resonated in our bones. Make America great again. Because that word great and that word again, we were there. We remember when America really was great. We lived in it every day. We woke up in it every day. America was great. It was a cool place to be. It was a wonderful place to be. Things were good.
Still good when, you know, I remember 1964. America was still pretty good then.
Sure was.
And, you know, the place I lived in then was really, really nice. And now it's really, really not nice.
Yep. And folks, and you go back, you know, so anyway, when Donald Trump said make America, we knew immediately what he meant. That hat, make America, immediately meant everything to us. It was an instant communication of a whole world of ideas with one phrase. And we believe one of the reasons that we're not hopeless and we're not spreaders of gloom and doom and woe is me is that having lived in that world, having lived in it, not heard about it, not read about it, grown up in it, that we, our belief that we can make America great again, that we can return to that world is stronger because we lived it. It's not a fantasy. It's not a far off dream. It's not an impossible thing for us. It's more for us. It's like, well, why the hell did we ever lose it? And getting it back doesn't seem to us to be an impossible task. It seems a natural thing. Of course we're going to get it back. What are we, a bunch of losers? You know, we're gonna start our lives with a world that was this wonderful and end it with something horrible? No, we're not a bunch of losers. We're fighters. We're tough people. And so I think a lot of the energy that you see in the Trump revolution, and I credit all the generations, all of you guys out there, whatever age group you're in, you're all doing your part. You all have a role to play based on that fits what you are and your age group. And I think everybody's doing a great job. But I want to give a tip of the Make America Great Again hat to the oldsters. And, I, you know, it's hard to realize I'm an oldster now. And when I hit 70, you know, next June, boy, that, you know, no question about it, man. When you hit 70, yeah, you're an oldster.
Now, James, rocks don't live that long.
Yeah.
But speaking of, hey, James, we got two ladies that want to talk to us.
Oh, let me get them. Let me get them here. Okay. All right. We got Patricia in Florida. And all right, Patricia. Are you there still?
Hi. Yes, yeah. I am. And
come
I'm
on
one
into
of
the...
them, too. I'm already 70, and no, I'm not an oldster yet. Maybe when I'm 85, but not yet.
I hear you. Yeah.
And but isn't that wonderful?
Patricia, what part of the country were you in as a kid?
In New England, Vermont, actually.
Yeah. And I mean, it was so wholesome. You remember the black and white TV?
I remember before that we didn't have a TV till we moved to Connecticut. And I met the Lone Ranger also at Lake Champlain Valley Fair up on the lake much later. And the only one I wish to hear someday, if you could find Happy Trails, Roy Rogers, that would be nice to hear again.
You're going to hear it sooner than you think. Go ahead.
I loved hearing Gene Autry. I can't believe how good that was to hear him. And I used to have an outfit, Hopalong Cassidy black outfit with fringe on it. And I used to climb trees in that when I was 5. Thank you.
Fringe.
I just wanted to say thank you. And I really love it, and I love your show, and thank you so much. Your cheerfulness and your upbeat is really uplifting even to me, and I'm always uplifted. But I love hearing it from you.
Well, and just tell the folks just a little bit more about what it was like growing up in the 50s, and the we left our doors unlocked, the windows were open. I had never heard of crime. I didn't even know of a crime against any family among any of my acquaintances. I had never heard of a robbery. Nobody had ever had a car stolen. Nobody had ever had an assault. You know, the worst crime would be, you know, two kids having a, you know, taking their shirts off and fighting in the schoolyard. Probably fighting over a yo-yo or some marbles.
I went to a two-room schoolhouse too, by the way. Two grades and two rooms. Yeah. And my greatest memory was jumping in the hay. I had to get a lot of courage to get ready to jump all that way down into the hayloft, and it took a lot of courage for a 5-year-old, but I did it. In a barn, you know, hayloft.
Yes. I'm over here. You know what I'm doing. Yes. Anyway, thank you so much for calling, Patricia.
Vermont stayed that way a long time, too. People didn't lock their doors for many, many years. I mean, I may have been 11, 12 years old, and people still weren't locking their doors in the small towns in Vermont.
Yeah. People don't believe
then.
It. People left stuff out, you know, there was no concern that people would steal it. You leave it in the yard and, you know. Well, thank you very much for calling, and please call often again. All right.
Okay.
Let's go to, thanks. Our next caller is Laura in Michigan. Laura, you're on the show. The microphone is yours.
Hi, James. I'd give you a movie a couple of times here in St. Louis. And then the Singing Revolution. I thought this week I'd tell you people need to watch For Greater Glory. For Greater Glory was when the Bolsheviks, it's a little more serious, and the Bolsheviks took over Mexico in the 20s. And what they did, they were the Federales. This is what we got to be careful of. This movie is excellent. Have you seen it?
No, I have not seen that one.
Excellent movie to watch.
Okay, I will watch for that. Now I'm going to, and Laura, hang on. Keep your thought right there. This is for Patricia, our last caller. And here we go. Here we go. This is for all of us. And I'm amazed. She also met the Lone Ranger, Clayton Moore. Oh boy, that's something. He's gone now, but his shows and all that, they live on in that black and white TV. Here, this is for you, Patricia. Here it comes.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling. Who cares about the clouds when we're together?
Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather.
happy trails to you till we meet again.
1952, folks. It was beautiful. And folks, you know, back in those days, that's as a little kid, as a little rugrat sitting in front of a little black and white TV, that all of that is burned into our souls, that song, and that Roy Rogers and Dale Evans would sing in every single show. What a change. What a world we're in. And why did we ever have to lose it? Why did the songs ever have to become so, you know, so different? So
it's worth bringing up, James. I hear through the years that we gave it away and we did it to ourselves. And I do not believe that's true. I've had plenty of years to study it. We didn't give it away. It was taken from us by force. Well, we're very, very slowly starting to get our feet back and our footing. And the enemy's still there, as vicious as ever. And the only way we get our country back is to scratch and claw and defeat them.
Yeah.
It's hard work.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you, and very slightly offer a slightly different angle, is that it was taken away from us, but it was taken away from us in the way that somebody that, you know, now that a thief has moved into your neighborhood. I remember I mentioned how we used to keep our doors unlocked and our cars, the keys in the car and stuff like that. And if you left your wallet in the store with a lot of cash in it, you get a call from the store. We got your wallet, Mr. Kelso. What happened was, after we found out that a thief had moved into the neighborhood, we made the mistake of leaving the keys in the car, and he stole it. And so I would say this way: yeah, it was taken from us. The thief did get in the car and drive it away. But we made the mistake of leaving the keys in the car, knowing there's a thief in the neighborhood. And so I would say that our portion of having done it to ourselves, George, is this: that we were asleep at the wheel. We left the gates unlocked when there was peril, and we just naively assumed that wonderful world we lived in 1952, those happy trails. Those happy trails, that they would, of course, they would last forever. Why would it ever go away? In fact, let me give you something else for you younger people, in case you don't know this. And this is kind of valuable to you from an oldster who can still a mean surfer. I'll tell you what, I'll meet you out in the surf. I can still surf head high surf, but I can still get barreled. The view that we had back in 1952 was not just that the world would stay good forever. It was even better than that. I'll tell you about it right after this break.
Mm-hmm. We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We're back, folks. And the little secret I was going to let you in on before the break is this. I was born in 1948. And in 1958, as a 10-year-old, I didn't think that the world was going to stay wonderful, just stay as good as it was. The view among everybody, all of us, was that it would get better. We all had an inner certainty that year after year the world was getting better.
Yeah, and we were going to colonize space.
Yes, we had this feeling. Let me tell you what it was like. Again, I hope this is interesting to you because it's the world that for some of you of your parents. Maybe they never told you this, why they were the way they were and are the way they are. Here's what it was like being a little 10-year-old. Your dad would bring home you know, he'd arrive, you know, all proud and beaming, and for the first time, you had a washing machine. You could remember when Mom used to do the clothes in a wringer machine that was had a rolling wringer that she worked with her arm, and each piece of clothes she fed through by hand and what's the past tense? A ring, rang, rung? She rang the water out of the clothes. I have to look that one up.
We still had an occasional washboard.
Yeah.
With the ridges on it.
And then Dad brought home the washing machine. Just a washing machine. No dryer. Just a washing machine. You still hung the clothes out on the line in the backyard. You had a backyard, a big green backyard. And you hung them out with clothespins. And that was fine. Then he brought the dryer. That was something. Then you got the dishwasher. Whoa, a machine that washed your dishes. And then you got the electric can opener. That was wild. Then you got the electric oven. You lost the gas oven that you had, and your dad installed an electric oven in your kitchen.
An electric typewriter.
Oh, yeah, the typewriters, the old Royal Manual went out. But the point is, folks, it was almost like a weekly thing. You know, a few years later, John Kennedy would get on the television and say, we're going to the moon. And we did. But especially in those 1950s, what were other things that happened? The icebox went out and you got a refrigerator. Back then, as a kid, you could get a 1948 Studebaker for $50. You, as a teenager, you could go out and you could take your girlfriend in high school around in a car that you bought and that you owned, and the registration on the car was like $10 or $8. And the you know, you paid $50 for the car. I paid $90 for my first car. I paid $100 for my second car, and they worked fine. They ran for years. So you had this feeling when the tuition at the University of California, where I was admitted, was basically free. It's fundamentally, I forget, it was like $100, $200 a semester, maybe. It was almost nothing. We took that for granted. So we had this attitude, not only that we thought the world's just going to keep getting better. So our guard was down. We weren't looking around our corner here or off the side of our eye for some sneaky thief that was going to take our world into the toilet. But that's what we faced. And now, you know, it's not too late. We're finally realizing what happened to us, and we're taking our country back, taking our world back, rebuilding our culture. And that's what this show's about. That's what the American
I like where you're going with it, James, because this diffuses part of the argument that all is lost and we may as well give up, is that we have not been displaced yet.
Yeah.
And we are hopping mad.
Yeah.
And there's still, count them, there's at least 200 million whites in the United States alone, and there's at least 66 million angry adults who are quite ticked off at the way things are.
Yes. We'll be right back with that thought. Stay tuned.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. And Angioprim is the result, a safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. Angioprim. angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Why don't we liberate these United States? We're the ones who need it worst. Let the rest of the world help us for change, and let's rebuild America first. Our highways and bridges are falling apart. Who's blessed and who has been cursed? There's things to be done all over the world, but let's rebuild America first.
We're back, folks. Rebuilding America, and one piece at a time. You're welcome to call in. The show is wide open now. We've only got a half an hour left, and if you call in, we will pick up.
We may still have a caller on the line, Jay.
Well, let me just see here. Laura, I think Laura's gone. Are you gone, Laura?
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
I'm here, James. Yeah,
give us
I'm
one
here.
More thought, Laura. Give
me.
Us one more thought.
One more thought?
Yeah.
Well, I kind of must have grown up like Patricia, because I was in a two-room schoolhouse, went to 12th grade, had a wonderful education, taught us phonics. We could read. I love the Iowa basic test. In fourth grade, it would say, oh, you're reading on 11th grade, second month level. I mean, that's the kind of education that we had. That's what I missed.
So you were in a two-room school. you were in a two-room schoolhouse. Did they have, like, different grades together?
Yes, yeah, yep. At the school, you know, kindergarten through sixth in one room, went right to high school. And we also, every year, did a Christmas pageant. It was very religious. One year I was an angel and did the hand gestures to Silent Night. Boy, you couldn't do that today.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and, you know, all of that was achieved. Yeah, and you remember that, you know, when all the, you know, how to us it seemed like, you know, the world's just going to get better and better. There's going to be, you know, more and more good things coming. So it you just, well, I'll give you an example of that, folks. When we were kids, I was born in 1948, America was more than 90% white. Think about that. More than 90% white. It was between 90 and 91% white. And it wasn't a delusional thought that the country was getting better and better. From 1920 until 1965, you're not going to believe this. I've told it, so maybe you've heard me say it, but you won't hear anybody else say it, you know, in the media anyway. From 1920 to 1965, the percentage of America that was white increased. America got whiter year by year from 1920 to 1965 because of the Quota Act of 1920, written by my cousin Madison Grant, and the Immigration Act written in 1924, written by my cousin Madison Grant, signed by Calvin Coolidge, also a cousin. But America was getting better and better. And so, you know, you talk about the universities today, which are just filled with Asians, you know, like the University of California that I went to, you know, apparently the Asian population now there is humongous. There were none, zero when I was a student. The Asian population of America in the 1950s was essentially zero. The Mexican, now no one's going to believe this. What was the Mexican population? You're not going to believe this.
It was zero.
It was zero, boys and girls. It was zero. Just because there were names like, you know, San Francisco and Los Angeles, okay, which make you think, well, there's some kind of Mexican history and so on. No, 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 no. There were no Mexicans in California. It was zero. And yes, the old names from the, you know, days of the, you know, the rancheros. Yes, those old names had been retained when the population of L.A. County was 50 people. Yes. But the there was no Mexican. You know, if you wanted to see a Mexican in Los Angeles when I was a kid, you had to go to a thing called Alvaro Street in Los Angeles, which is one street where they had taco stands and things like that. And they had serapes and sombreros, and you could buy a serape. It was like a tourist thing, cheap tourist thing, one street in Los Angeles. There were no Mexicans. There were no Asians. There were no Africans at all. What was an exchange student? An exotic student at your high school. Now, I didn't go to a two-room school. I went to a 2,000-student Palisades High School, which was huge, one of the top schools in the country academically, more national merit scholars than almost any other school. I was one of them. An exotic student there was the exchange student from Sweden or the exchange student from, you know, Denmark. That would be an exotic person at the school. So
there was no crime.
Yeah, there was no crime.
There was no crowding.
Crime didn't exist.
There weren't even traffic jams.
No traffic exams. Absolutely. You know, it was wonderful. And anyway, the point is this. I don't want to make younger people feel angry because I got to live in a world like that and you don't. Listen, we can get it back. We can get that world back. We just have to fight for it, claw for it, you know, step by step, gradualistically, step by step. We can incrementally get back to what we had. And
that's the goal. And maybe we just have to say that explicitly. And maybe it's to taunt the other side. I'm not satisfied with stemming the tide or neutralizing the left. I want to go all the way back. And they love to sardonically say, you don't want to go back to the 50s.
Yes, no, I do.
I want to go back to 1900. I want to make America to have the same, you know, population density and the right mixture from before the Federal Reserve Act. Yeah. You know, in 1907, 1910, anything before 1950,
That's now, where I want to go. And I know a lot of people, they're not going to say it, but that's what we want. We want our country all the way back.
Yes. And then let's widen the view a little bit. You know, our many of us in America go back to Jamestown, which is 1607. Go back to Plymouth, which is 1620. I mentioned to Mr. Muller, Gustav Muller, a part of my ancestry goes back to New Amsterdam, which became New York. But that's Dutch ancestors also in the 1600s. And then, you know, other waves in the 1700s and so on. But we go back centuries. We have centuries of our ancestors here. And and we have been an overwhelmingly white nation, overwhelmingly, for those centuries. So have Paul's ancestors in Canada and our Australian cousins. It was an entirely white nation. The official policy of the nation, the first act of the newly independent Australian government, Parliament, in 1901 was the White Australia Act, in which proclaimed that white Australia was, is, and shall forever be a white nation. That was the law. And they wrote songs about it, the White Australia Policy Song. I'll play that for some at some point here. I'll find that somewhere online. But the and our European cousins, how white were our cousins in the Australia was 100% white, but Canada just about. Europe, our European cousins, there were no other ethnicities in Europe at all. None at all. Germany, Italy, France, Spain, Norway, Denmark, Poland, they were entirely white countries. 100%, not 99%, 100% white for century after century after century. And then only starting with a trickle, non-whites got into those countries. And now, in the age of Angela Merkel, it's turned into a tidal wave. But we can stop this. It's all very recent. We can stop it. We can send, we can gradually improve the situation where people can be sent back, send them back. Where we just have to, wait people out, we'll wait them out. But we'll get our countries back, and we'll become the European nations that we once were. And look at your globe. Take your globe off the piano and hold that globe, and look how small Europe is. I don't have mine here on the desk, but I was showing the globe to my 6-year-old yesterday, and it hit me like a brick. Europe is smaller than I was looking at a few of the African countries, which are bigger than Europe. I mean, just a couple of them, you know, like the former Belgian Congo and these countries are the size of the entirety of Europe. And so, you know, we don't have that much. We don't have that much territory. We have to keep the territory we have. And as the American Freedom Party ad that you hear in the breaks in the show, we used to be a more than a third of the population of the world. And now we're headed towards, you know, some small single digit number that we don't like.
Well, shame on us for feeding the rest of the world.
Yes, and yes, exactly. Guys like Bill Gates, look at this turkey. Bill Gates and what's his wife's name? Melissa? Yeah, I think, or is it Melinda? Or
I think it's Bill and Melinda Gates.
Bill and Melinda. Yeah, they're spending billions of dollars, billions, that they're sucking out of your exorbitant fees for Microsoft products. The only people that pay for the Microsoft products are Americans, dumb bunnies, us white guys. Do you think the Chinese people pay for software? Are you kidding me? You know, do you think any Chinese has ever paid $10 for a piece of software? As they say in New Jersey, forget about it. It's all the software in China is pirated, all of it. They wouldn't think of sending a guy money for just software. But we pay in full. And that money, Bill and Melinda Gates, they bundle it up and send it, you know, plane loads of it to Africa so that the African population can boom.
Well, everywhere else, you know, in those interesting countries between the Levant and the Pacific.
Uh-huh.
You know, if it weren't for us feeding them, we might not be 9% of the world's population.
Right. the idea for, like, for instance, one of the things that we invented and you know, we created is clean water, sanitation systems, how to drill a well, how to go down 200 feet and get fresh water and bring it up, you know, and pump it up. We invented the pump. We invented everything, the hydraulics, all of it, everything, every single thing. It wasn't invented by the Arabs or Arab mathematicians or Chinese philosophers. No, it was invented by, you know, guys like my dad, who invented, you know, participated in inventing and designing the television. When my dad brought the first black and white television to our home, he was one of the guys that invented it and built it there and built it in West Los Angeles. And I got to, as a little kid, walk through the production line and walk down those, you know, those production lines and look at the boxes of transistors and so on. But that was our world that we created, and we gave them the sanitation systems. We gave them all these key things. And they
very gratefully come here and shoot us down.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that nice?
So this, you know, what a misguided view of the world that we're going to build up the populations of everybody else, and then we, working ourselves to the bone, don't have enough money to be able to have kids or a bigger family. So, you know, we're the only people with zero population growth, or NPG, negative population growth, which, you know, all the liberals were telling us was wonderful. Back in the 60s, the liberals were all saying, that's really wonderful if you do that. Well, we did that, but we get punished for it. We don't get praised for it. Now we're told, now those very same liberals or their children or their spiritual children say to us, oh, you don't have enough automobile workers in Germany. We need 2 million people from Turkey. These are the same people that said, you know, go for zero population growth. Then now we're going to punish you with 2 million Turks, and so on and so on and so on. The story goes. We still have a little bit left in the show. 800-313-9443 if you want to get in. Laura,
I'm
yes.
So oh, here.
Yes, yeah, Laura, what's on
I'm
your
so
yes.
I just wanted to say, this is all because of the liberals, why we have such a problem in our country. And they didn't want to follow anything that was in the Bible. You know, if we had followed the Bible, we would not be in the mess we are. Like, they don't want to punish criminals, let them go and all this, you know, abort babies. So, I mean, we just let this slip out of our hands gradually, yes. Just little bit by little bit.
That's another thing we remember. When we were growing up in the 50s, folks, there were no abortion clinics, zero. And there was no abortion. And, you know, like, as in the case of my mom got pregnant, you know, four times and had four boys. And that was the way it went. You know, that mom and dad got married. Mom got pregnant shortly thereafter and turned into a wonderful, wonderful mother. And one of the reasons she stayed at home is, you know, try raising four boys who were born a year and a half apart from each other. You don't go to work if you got four boys running around the house. No, you're absolutely fully engaged raising those kids, teaching those kids, cooking the food, doing all those great things. And that was a wonderful life. And it was unimaginable to us. I'll give you another different thing. It did never occur to us that our mom should have a job. It was almost like a shameful thing. If there was a friend whose mom was working, it was kind of like embarrassing. It was like, you didn't know why. It was just vaguely embarrassing that, you know, Joey's mother was working, because why isn't she being a mom? Why isn't she at home like all the other moms? Why is she different from the other kids? So, you know, my gosh, no abortion, the birth control, the pill was not here yet. I don't remember when the pill came in, probably late 60s.
Another thing, Jamie, I got married in 71. I had never knew what a homosexual was. Never heard that word, didn't know what they did. Had asked my new husband, what are they? I don't understand what they do. He had to give me a sex talk. I didn't know. How bad is that? I wish I was back to a time where I could hear about them. I did not know.
Oh, it was wonderful. Our innocence was wonderful. And, you know, the age at which we became sexually active in those years was, you know, much later than kids today, much later. And that, I think that was good. That was right. That's the way you want it to be. But the, my gosh. Anyway, I don't want to rub it in, Laura, too much. I don't want to. I can sense I got some young people in the audience here getting angry at me. They're balling up their fists, and I don't want you. I don't want to do that. I want you, young.
Well, I don't know, James. You have to be truthful about it. America used to be good. Now it sucks. And well, you know, the Make America Great Again hat is a wonderful thing. I saw a great satire in American Free Press. Who's that fat guy with the glasses who hates Trump so much? Michael Moore?
Yes.
Yeah. They always portray him with a hat that says, Make America Suck Again. And that is the agenda of the other side, in a word. And it's crude, and it's hideous, but that's what they see America as, a great big third world cesspool.
Yeah. Well, but it doesn't suck yet. It's getting there. It's going there. But I think we've turned it around.
I don't know, James. If you visit my neighborhood, you might change your mind. But
come up to North Dakota. Come up.
Yeah, I'd love to. Trust me.
Okay. All right. We'll be right back, folks.
The good times ain't over for good.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
When this war is over, it will be a better day. When this war is over, it will
be back,
a better day.
All right, I got a good treat to end the show on. Laura, thank you very much for calling. And we'll see you again soon, Laura. Here it is, something very positive to end the show on. The Trump Phoenix rally. I think I've got it right here. Let me go to it. And, boy, if you're anywhere near this thing, you want to be there. Anywhere near it. I mean, if you're in L.A., you can get to this event. Let's see here. President Donald Trump is returning to Phoenix for a rally at 7 p.m. Tuesday at the downtown Phoenix Convention Center. Now, let me think about that. 7 p.m. I forget what Phoenix is. Is it Mountain or Pacific? But that's pretty close to our show time.
Wrong, Pacific time.
Pacific time. So I think that will be maybe a little after our show. But the we'll at least get the build up. We'll be able to report the crowd to you. 7 p.m. Tuesday at the Phoenix Convention Center. That sounds like a big one. This is his first visit to Arizona as president. Expected to draw massive crowds. This event will likely be similar to campaign style rallies. This is a hostile. This is Arizona Central. This is a hostile left wing media source that had become part of his routine.
I'm wrong. Phoenix is in the Mountain Time Zone.
Mountain, okay. Attendees must register to obtain tickets, but registration does not guarantee entry, which is on a first-come, first-served basis. In other words, yeah, there's going to be 30,000 people that want to get in. That's great. I'd love to just be outside and be present at history, be near this great man. And you can register at donaldjtrump.com/rallies/phoenix-az. That's donaldjtrump.com/rallies/phoenix.
I'm still sort of wrong. Arizona does not observe daylight savings time, so they're minus three, just okay. Like Los Angeles.
Okay, all right, so call it Pacific. And anyone hoping to get inside will need to get in line hours ahead of time at the Phoenix Convention Center. Rally attendees often show up first thing in the morning and wait all day. I love it. Yes, we're passionate. And you can see those crowds. Nobody's impatient, sitting in the sun, sitting in the heat, sitting on asphalt. They don't care. They know this is their country's at stake. In so many words, you will have to take the day off of work or school. What to bring? Spring snacks and a lot of water. Be prepared to stand outside for a long period of time. The weather is going to be 102. So watch it, folks. They're going to be out there in 102 degree weather all day. Bring cash for your Trump merchandise so you can buy things quickly. Wear comfortable shoes. Bring a phone charger or external battery. By the way, don't bring a lot of equipment. They don't tell you what not to bring. Don't bring a lot of cameras and just big things that you're not going to be able to get in, or backpacks. Well, there's more on this. We'll give you more about the rally. Everybody that can be there, be there. We'll see you again tomorrow night, 9 p.m., after the eclipse. Oh, my goodness. Hope we all come back. See you there. Bye-bye.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one of them from Amazon.com. I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. I was a little bit alarmed, as I have always been in good health. I started this regime as soon as it arrived, and I have noted that the heaviness in my chest is gone and the pressure headaches I have been having are lessened. I am hoping to see greater results as time progresses, as I am an avid non-user of pharmaceuticals and avoid them at all cost if possible. This was, I think, a great alternative to heart medication. Not that I am a doctor, and for some, there is no choice, but again, for someone like me, I am so far pleased with the results. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822.
or visit partdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.